This is 1320 WILS. It's money. Hey, we all need it. My next guest is going to explain it to you in ways you've never really understood it. A new book out today, Naked Money, a revealing look at what it is and why it matters. Charles Whelan joins us, a professor of public policy at Dartmouth College. Charles, thank you for joining us.
With you.
Yeah, and you've written, you're the best-selling author of books like Naked Economics and Naked Statistics. What made you go with the word naked?
Because if you're going to use the word economics and statistics in the title, you better offset it with something like naked.
I see. So like a Google search might pop it up suddenly.
Exactly. You know, the books are widespread in high school, and it's kind of a problem because the spam filters will catch any subject line that has the title of the book in it.
They may have misunderstood what it was about, but maybe they learned something. Tell me this, Charles. When you talk about naked money, you have all kinds of interesting chapters there, but you talked about central banking. I want to get to that part. What is your view on the way our central banks are operating right now?
Well, they're in a precarious spot. I mean, the short answer is, I think, had it not been for the Fed in 2008 making some mistakes in the run-up, namely overlooking some of the most egregious bad lending, but then recovering and bailing out the system, I think we would have been in much worse shape. We're now in a place which is really unchristened territory. We've got interest rates that are negative in parts of the world. I mean, just think for a minute about how weird that is. I loan you $100 and I ask you to pay me back slightly less. So we're in a place where we've had extended low interest rates. We've got a flagging economy from China to Europe to the United States. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens going forward.
Those that say the bailout just delayed and even worsened the repercussions of what's going to have to occur, do you believe that?
I don't. I think we may still have a different kind of crisis in the future. I mean, one of the things I did in the book is go through the history of financial crises and make the point that banking is an inherently frail institution. You are taking someone's money, promising it back to them whenever they want it, and then turning around and lending it to people who are putting it in long-term investments, whether it's college, restaurants, housing. When things are going well, it's all copacetic. You're moving capital from places where it's not needed to places where it is needed. But if there's a panic and everybody suddenly wants their money back, whether that's a bank or the repo market or anything more sophisticated, you're going to have a problem.
So is long-term stability and economically, is that just a wishful thinking?
No, I think what you have to do, though, is build safeguards around the inherent weaknesses of the system. And we've done it to some extent throughout history. So, for example, FDIC insurance for small depositors means that at least in 2008, for all our other problems, we did not have depositors running to their banks trying to get their checking accounts out. We did have that in the Great Depression. That caused a lot of great bank failures and made everything worse. But this time around, there were a whole bunch of problems that we hadn't anticipated.
Yeah. Is half of it just keeping the population calm?
It is absolutely true that money is whatever you think it is, and as long as people have confidence in it, they will accept it. And that's true broadly throughout the financial system. As long as you think everything's okay, it probably is. As soon as you panic, you might well create a problem where none previously existed.
Talking to Charles Whelan, his brand new book out today, Naked Money, a revealing look at what it is and why it matters. You have a chapter on gold. Well, what is it that you have to say about gold?
Well, gold is a very alluring idea for people who lived through the financial crisis, who are freaked out by the fact that the $20 bill in your wallet has no intrinsic value. But it is a false allure, I would argue, that there are all kinds of problems with the gold standard. And while it may seem intuitive that having money backed by something is better than money backed by nothing, turns out that, according to most economists, is probably not the case.
What will the consequence be to going back to the gold standard?
Well, there are all kinds of problems. One of them is that most of the world's gold reserves are in Russia, China, and South Africa. So you would be turning over your money supply to three countries, at least two of whom don't share the same long-term interests as we do. But there are other challenges as well. One of the things we learned in the Great Depression, when we were still on the gold standard, is that we needed to create more liquidity. We needed to be able to bail out the banks. We needed to be able to loan money more cheaply. But because we were constrained by the gold standard, we had to hold interest rates high. and protect our national gold reserves.
You think that extended the depression then?
That is the thinking among economists who've studied that period for all kinds of reasons. But one piece of evidence is that the countries that escaped the Great Depression were those that were not on the gold standard at all, places like China. And the ones that escaped earliest, who had the crisis, were those that went off the gold standard first.
Well, why is Russia and China, why are these two countries buying gold so aggressively right now?
I have no idea why. I mean, people in those countries may be buying gold because they're worried about what's happening inside the country. I mean, if I were in China, you've got political risk. You're limited in how much capital you can move out of the country. There may be micro reasons for any individual in a place like that, and Russia's got a lot of the same problems. But it's not obvious to me why a national government would be stockpiling gold. One of the curious things about this asset is you dig it out of the ground, melt it down, and then put it back in the ground in a vault. I mean, go figure.
Talking to Charles Whelan, his book out today, Naked Money, a revealing look at what it is and why it matters. For those like me who really don't have a grasp of this whole, the complexity of the financial system, what are you going to walk away with after reading this book? How clearly are you going to understand the Fed and our monetary policies and central banking and so on?
I don't think you're going to have any answers. So, for example, I don't think anyone who reads this is going to know for certain whether we've warded off the next financial crisis. People will still debate about whether the Fed might have been able to do things differently in 2008. But I think you'll walk away with an understanding of what money is, how it is that a piece of paper in your wallet can have so much value. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll understand the banking system, what's great about it, but what also makes it a source of problems from time to time in the economy. And I think you will certainly understand what the Fed does, why it's so important, how it might be done better, and how that happens throughout the rest of the world.
Now, one chapter is just titled Japan. Why do you focus on Japan exclusively there?
Well, Japan is this curious place that has experienced almost two decades of deflation, falling prices. This is anomalous because throughout history, the problem has always been inflation. And the reason we always have inflation is it's really easy to get. You just print more money than you need in an irresponsible way. We've had no shortage of irresponsible governments throughout history. So in theory, you should never have deflation. If prices are falling and it's causing problems, as it appears to have done in Japan, in theory, you should just be able to print more money and give it to people. And yet, that has not been the case in Japan.
And how's that explained?
Well, it's hard to explain. Part of it is you just may have deflationary pressures. You've got an aging population. You've got falling prices due to cheaper manufactured goods from China. But it also appears to be that there's no great desire to get rid of deflation, in part because deflation, while bad for the economy overall, is good for people who are old and retired because they've got a fixed income, usually fixed in monetary terms. So you're going to get 230 yen per hour or what have you.
Right.
And prices are falling. So for people who are already out of the workforce who are guaranteed a fixed income, deflation may be a good thing.
Charles Whelan, author of the new book, Naked Money. Charles, how do you think we're going to get out of this $19 trillion debt?
Well, that's a separate problem. I think it's a serious issue. I don't think there's a political will with either party. I mean, the Republicans are very wedded to tax cuts, and the Democrats have dug in their heels on entitlement reform. And I think the reality is we've kind of made this unholy compromise where we'll continue to spend like socialists and tax like libertarians. And you know, I'm not going to say what the appropriate level of government is, but it ought to be one where we're collecting enough in taxes to pay for what we're spending. And that has not been the case for well on 15 years now.
Another chapter in your book, The Future of Money, what is that?
Well, it's probably going to be more digital and more electronic. People will still use cash because it's kind of convenient and it's anonymous. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean the dollar goes away. So I'm not a big fan of Bitcoin. I explain why Bitcoin doesn't make that much sense in the book. But you can still have the dollar, use it as a unit of account, but you don't necessarily have to be using the paper ones. You can write checks, or increasingly you can use electronic transactions. It's the same basic thing.
Any concerns about leaving cash and having our spending tracked so closely?
Well, there are. I think that's one reason cash doesn't go away completely, is there's a certain anonymity that's attractive in just being able to spend cash and nobody can realistically track it. some folks have pointed out that as you move away from cash, you get fewer robberies. I mean, one of the reasons you get robbed in the street is people you think you have cash on them. If you're no longer carrying cash, they're actually, we can demonstrate there have been places where you get less street crime. But, of course, then you just get electronic heists. So we've seen places where you can now break into a bank and steal the money electronically. So I'm not sure the theft problem goes away as long as they're dishonest people, but it might make the streets safer.
One last thing, Charles. Why is there such a variance, even among experts, about how we're handling our national and even international finances and the way that the central banks are operating? Why are the views so differing?
I think part of it is we've never seen this stuff before. So, for example, we talked about deflation in Japan. That's an entirely new chapter in international economics. There was nothing about it when I was in grad school. The euro is new. That whole currency is barely 20 years old. And, of course, dealing with all the issues in Greece and Italy, sharing a single currency when you're not sharing a federal government, that's all entirely new. Mm-hmm. And in the United States, everything post-2008. Negative interest rates, new, and something that wasn't taught when I was in grad school. So a lot of this stuff is things that we've never had to deal with.
Is it fair to say new and troubling? Would that be fair to say?
A lot of them are troubling. Yeah. I mean, the fact, and we're dealing with China, where the whole political system is relatively new. That has evolved out of communism in kind of strange ways. So we're not on a panic, but a lot of these things are troubling in a way that we can't look to history and say, well, what did we do the last time the euro got in trouble? Because there was no currency ever before like it.
Charles Whelan, his book out today, Naked Money, a revealing look at what it is and why it matters. You will learn a lot. Charles, thank you very much.
Hey, it was great to be with you.